Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Holy moly! This is the 300th episode of the Smart Thinking Podcast. And I want to start out this one with a simple thank you. When I began this journey, I had no idea that, number one, I would do this for so long, two, that so many people would listen to it, three, that I would get to use my learner strength to create so many tools, four, that I would get to talk to so many cool people, and five, that it would go global. Shout out to whoever recently started listening in Ghana. 45 downloads there last week. Six, that you would be so kind to stay with me and help me grow the platform. And seven, that Joel Inslinger has listened to all episodes. Good morning, Joel. I want to also make sure to be grateful to you for listening and learning along with me. So many people will see me and talk to me as if we were really together when they had listened to the podcast. It's funny to me because sometimes people will start talking to me about an episode they listened to that was like a year old, and they'll say things to me like, well, you know, do you remember when? And I was thinking about it, and they'll pick up right where they left off, and I have to go back and listen to what I had said. This little weekend hobby has really fueled me, and I appreciate you very much. I actually want to share on this episode the history of the podcast and get you thinking about all the ways in which people around you are encouraging you to do things, and you may engage or you may ignore their ideas. But whichever choices you make, it's always your choice. And as leaders, it is our job to listen to the world around us. Listen with a keen sense of reflection, and then actually process all the things that are brought to you. When people say things like, you should try this, you should watch this, you should start a, you should read, well, friend, you should. You should absorb that nudge and do it. Why? Well, we're all leaders, and people actually care about you and us. People actually want you to be better. People want to influence you so that you can thrive and be happy and be better and be yourself and be engaged in this life's journey. I mean, how many times has someone said to you, you should? How many times have people said you should to you and you're like, meh, I'm too busy? Too busy? What? Doing what? Protecting your peace? Protecting your downtime so you can TikTok? Come on, friends. It's time to be alive, to thrive, to put yourself out there so that on the day that you look back from your mountain peak, you can look back at that path and see all the different markers that you laid. Back with a great sense of happiness, and the only regret you'd have is that you just don't get to live longer. This podcast was started with a nudge from a complete stranger, and I'm going to share with you how a simple statement moved me to be better, more engaged in life, and feeling fulfilled. And I want to break down my entire process and how it happens so that you can hear how and hopefully spark you to be a little more buffalo in your own life, because this whole project was my first storm that I faced charging head on as a result of someone saying, you should. So let's start with some history. I plan every episode to be in the 25-minute range for two main reasons. The first was when I was researching how to do a podcast, I leaned into my love of research and I looked for a proper length for a podcast for people. I find that podcasts that are like an hour, 90 minutes, 2 hours, they're just too long and I lose track or I have to stop and I can't remember everything that was said. And well, I don't really care for podcasts you have to listen to over several days. So I looked up the average commute of an American and learned that a commuter in the United States drives 25 minutes. And I thought, perfect. I'll be with people on their ride to work. I also looked up the average time it takes an American to walk a mile. Guess what? 24 minutes. The average American walks at 2.4 miles per hour. I then thought long and hard about when to post each episode. I firmly believe in leaving people alone on the weekend that I serve next to or work with or sit on boards with or in government, and I wanted to make sure that protect people from, you know, too much stuff on the weekends. However, I learned that if I really wanted to help people stay optimistic, that I needed to launch our week with the stories, tools, reflections, and processes, which is why it comes out on Sunday nights. I'm a big believer in starting out strong and finishing strong. And I believe that we should do that with the same amount of energy. And I wanted to put the podcast out on Sunday nights in my time zone, Central Standard Time in the United States, and allow people to listen on Sunday nights while they went for their evening walk or on Monday mornings on the ride to work. And based upon my analytics, this is exactly what happens. 1/3 of the weekly downloads occur on Sunday night in the United States and internationally, because what I also learned is that there are people on the other side of the world waking up and listening to the podcast as they are going to work. 50% are listened to on Monday mornings, and the rest of y'all, well, you listen at different times. The next criteria I wrote down for myself was that the podcast needed to be themed and not waver from my messages, and they needed to stick to five things: optimism, empathy, resilience, leadership, and proactivity. I still have that post-it on my desk. This, friends, is the basis of every episode. If you've listened to half of the episodes, you hear a formula: reminders of what leadership is, how to lead like a buffalo, and the behaviors of great leaders, because we're empathetic and reflective. I am very purposeful in reminding you on every episode the definition of a leader: anyone who has influence over another person, and the behaviors of those leaders being empathy and reflection. Empathy being curious about the person in front of you, and then reflecting upon what needs to be done in order to be buffalo with or for them, and to help you or them run into the storm you are facing. The next part was that I always wanted to make sure to tell a story. And man, have I told stories. I've told a few that have gotten me in trouble with some family members. I have a really strong memory, and as I age, those memories are getting more and more colorful as the furniture in my very busy mind keeps moving around. However, I love when I run into people and they say they feel like they have met me, they've met my children, or that they like work with me, and that they love Summer Megan, which, by the way, when all these cicadas emerge this summer, the trillions that we're hearing about, Summer Megan will be coming out right alongside of them. Man, I love Summer Megan. However, I wanted the stories to help illustrate a problem or an opportunity for each of us, share with you my learnings, and more importantly, find stories from other people for us all to learn and grow from, especially the opportunities they present for us to improve. These stories also allow me to do what I love doing more than anything: learning and then teaching what I've learned. My most powerful and engaging days are when I get to see the spark in others as they learn and grow with and in front of me. I mean, I have lost friends and spoke about what I've learned from them. My hardest and most rewarding episode I think I've ever done was about my brother John after he passed away. I interviewed a Holocaust survivor during COVID with my daughter, and it transformed both of us. A few weeks ago, Greg Harden was talking with me and my son, shifting my relationship with Charlie. I find that my episodes on parenting, they tend to be the most popular and fastest to be downloaded and shared. I interviewed an emergency room doctor and friend during the pandemic, and he made all of us at least understand what was going on, if not help calm us down. I've written 1,827 pages of content. That blew my mind when I added it all together. And I've recommended 117 books to y'all, and we've all fallen in love with the Well Pennies. All of this happened from a nudge. I record every week in my, my wife's closet that I get some space in. But the volume of sweatshirts and denim in here make it a perfect environment for sound absorption. I could be screaming in here and no one would hear me outside of this room or, even the bedroom. Well, anyways, I spend the entire weekend getting ready. And when I'm recording in here, my entire family knows when I am recording, and that recording is a central part of our Sunday afternoons. Heck, both of my kids for school projects have done their own podcasts as a result of the Smart Thinking podcast. It nudged them. I spend the entire week in my downtime thinking about and watching for the opportunity to research and find a subject for the upcoming episodes. I have notebooks filled with ideas and topics, single words just written down. And in every book I read, I have topics written on the inside cover. I literally have at least 300 more episodes written out and inside of me. Saturday mornings, I work out and think about the final framework, and then I start drawing out tools and finalizing my thoughts. I've taken my laptop with me and prepped in hotels, in parking lots while waiting for soccer to start, or in the middle of in between matches during a tennis tournament. I've prepped in restaurants while traveling. I've prepped in a tent, and this episode was put together on a 3-hour flight coming home from San Diego. And there's a couple of podcasts coming from that trip. Finally, I learned how to produce a podcast using a computer, editing content, dropping in music, learning how to do gains on microphones, making final cuts. I mean, I did this all in my late 40s, and I don't want to hear from anyone that we are not lifetime learners. And finally, I'm amazed by where this is all listened to. Shout out to the Midwest and the United States, because that's where 60% of my downloads are in. And they're in 5 states, number 1 being Wisconsin, then Michigan, Indiana, Minnesota, and Ohio. The remaining 40% are the other 45 states and 73 countries around the world, with the United Kingdom, Australia, and then Italy in the lead. But I can't believe where you all are. And as a former history teacher, I love it on Wednesday when I load up the week's analytics and see the global impact and the United States impact. The podcast and Buffalo Mindset has gotten me all over the country doing keynotes and making new friends and growing our herd of optimists who are proactive, resilient leaders and buffaloes. Now, I'm not telling you all of this to be impressed. Well, maybe a little. But I mean, here I am in my closet looking at lots of jean jackets right now. But I tell you this to get you to listen to the people in your life who say you should. I mean, we would have likely never developed a friendship through this podcast if it had not been for a nudge. And here's that story. I was asked to do a keynote in Elkhorn, Wisconsin at their back to school in service. I went there to get the staff energized about mission and purpose, sharing my story and demonstrating the power of teachers in my life and, heck, in everyone's life. I'm only here today on this podcast because of all the great women and teachers who helped me get to where I am today. And that is the message that I shared with them and how those people saved me. After an hour of me showing how much energy a human being can have when inspired and born caffeinated, I left the stage and was walking out the door when a wonderful young woman came up to me in her early 20s and said, "Hey, I'm in my second year of teaching, and I wish you had a podcast." I said, "I wish I had a podcast too." And then she, my nudge moment, said, "You should start one." I smiled and didn't give it another thought as I walked out the door. And then I absorbed the nudge. Because the minute I got in the car, I started a podcast. And once I pressed that podcast button, all I heard was, "You should start a podcast." And then I did. Because what happened every time after I opened the podcast app in my car when I was driving, all I heard was her voice. Because every time I finished a podcast, I heard, "You should start a podcast." Every time I started a podcast, I heard, "You should start a podcast." Every time I told someone about a podcast, I heard, "You should start a podcast." After 2 weeks of her ever-present voice, I decided I'd investigate. Let's see how hard it is to do. I did all the aforementioned research, called Brian Enderpool from the Wellpennies and got advice on microphones, asked him a couple of editing questions, and I launched the first episode, and now here we are today, sitting in the same closet and learning every week together after 6 years and 300 episodes. I want you to promise me this. Can you look for and absorb the nudges this week? I'm serious. Anytime you hear, "You should," I want you to actually consider it. You should do something that stretches you. The first episode of the podcast took me like 4 hours to record and upload. Now, I do this in 45 minutes. I learn and I grow. Here, let me give you a couple more nudges I have heard recently and share what I decided to do about it. "Ted, you should really start using AI. My instinct is like, no way in H-E double hockey sticks am I going to use AI. However, I went to chat and I typed in the following: give me a synopsis of what Buffalo leadership is based upon Ted Knightsky's Smart Thinking podcast. I wanted to see if I've been true to my original mission. I also wanted to see what can artificial intelligence tell me. I learned a lot about my teaching and my podcast from an AI tool. You see, I said I had 5 things I wanted to make sure this podcast was dedicated to. Well, listen to this, because this is what spit out for me on chat. Ready? Buffalo leadership, as defined by the Smart Thinking podcast and Ted Knightsky IV, might refer to a leadership style or approach characterized by resilience, adaptability, and a strong sense of community. The term Buffalo leadership could draw inspiration from the behavior of buffaloes, which are known for their ability to weather storms by facing them head-on rather than fleeing. Here's how the concept might be elaborated. Number 1, resilience. buffaloes are known for their resilience in harsh conditions. Similarly, buffalo leadership emphasizes the importance of resilience in facing challenges and adversity. Leaders who embody buffalo leadership are resilient in the face of setbacks and obstacles, demonstrating the ability to bounce back from adversity and persevere towards their goals. Okay, so far so good. Number two, adaptability. Buffaloes are adaptable creatures, able to thrive in various environments and situations. Buffalo leadership emphasizes adaptability as a key trait to effective leadership. Leaders who practice buffalo leadership are flexible and open to change, able to adjust their strategies and approaches in response to evolving circumstances. Okay. Number three, community focus. Buffaloes often travel and graze together in herds, relying on each other for support and protection. Similarly, buffalo leadership places a strong emphasis on community and collaboration. Leaders who embody buffalo leadership prioritize building strong relationships, fostering a sense of belonging, acting with empathy, and supporting their team members to achieve collective success. Okay, AI, I'm falling in love with you. Number four, courage. Buffaloes are known for their courage in facing predators and adverse weather conditions. Buffalo leadership encourages leaders to demonstrate courage in their decision-making and actions. This includes having the courage to take calculated risks, speak up for what is right, and lead with integrity, even in the face of uncertainty or opposition. Overall, buffalo leadership reflects a leadership philosophy rooted in resilience, adaptability, community focus, and courage, inspired by the characteristics of buffaloes in the natural world. It's about leading with strength, empathy, reflection, compassion, and a steadfast commitment to navigating challenges and achieving shared goals with optimism. Are you serious? Okay, what in the world just happened? Did AI just summarize 299 episodes and teach me about myself? Yes. Yes, it did. Okay, I was all out on AI until I got the nudge from my son and my friend Ian. My son saying to me, "Dad, it can actually be very helpful to you." 6 years ago, I said I wanted the podcast to focus on these five things: optimism, empathy, resilience, leadership, and proactivity. Based upon a synopsis, which, by the way, was completed in 5 seconds of all of my episodes, I learned that I have done two other things that are core to who I am, and I never did it with intention. At least I didn't think I did. On top of optimism, empathy, resilience, leadership, and proactivity, I also have been focusing on courage and community. Two things near and dear to me as a person. AI is something that I then sat and played with for hours while I was in my hotel room in California this past week. Time zones really messed me up. So my normal 5 a.m. Central Standard Time was 3 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that gave me time to play on AI because I was up. I'm not afraid of it anymore. It's just a supercharged search function that can compile my thoughts and those of others in different ways. It just modified all kinds of existing thinking and put it in a place. It made my picture look better and a million other things. People fearing this remind me of my older relatives. Heck, I was acting like one of my older relatives when I was in college because they were telling me how the world was going to end because of the internet. Well, that might actually happen if social media continues the way it goes, but that's a topic for a different day. The point is, I was nudged and I learned and I grew. All right, now for you. I want to get you doing some smart thinking here. Buffalo leaders do not run from the storm, they face it. They weather it and they come out ahead. Being the first in the sunshine and the stars every single time and learning the most and growing stronger along the way. Now, here's my process for you this week, the tool. Don't discard or defend a nudge from anyone. Absorb it. When anyone says you should, I want you to stop and write it down. This past week, to get ready for this, I kept my journal handy and I captured every single I should statement that was shared with me, and I want you to do the same. I do not have the capacity to do all of these things on this list, at least not at one time, but the fact that I captured it at all, and now at the end of the week, I'm optimistically reflecting on it? Friends, I've done so much reflecting from these I should statements that I collected, I can't believe it. Now, before I share them, here's my process that I want you to remember. Just write it down. When I got all of these this week, I wrote them down, but the fact that I captured it all, and now at the end of the week, I have a ton of reflection to do, as well as opportunities, I'm actually really humbled by how many nudges I got from people who I really care about. And before I share them with you, let's talk about why people say you should to you. The answer is very simple. They care about you. A "you should" statement is actually a statement that I want you to hear from others in two ways. The first way is, I care enough about you that I want to suggest you do this, and I see something in you that you may not see in yourself, so you should. I did an entire episode years ago on the power of the nudge, and now I want you to think about this in the context of a nudge is also someone else's investment in you and your awesomeness. Because darn it, you are awesome. You are special, and you're someone that others love and care about. So, here's what I collected after a full week. All of my "you shoulds" that I got from other people. Ted, you should read Dirt, a book about a journalist who learns French cooking. You should consider sitting on the board of the Holocaust Education Resource Center. You should take more time for yourself. I'm worried you're burning out. You should stay in your lane as an executive. You should be more direct with people and ask, is it done or not done? You should develop a succession plan. You should not make anything on the stove anymore this week that splatters. You should lift more weights because you're going to lose a lot of muscle mass now that you're getting closer to 55. You should listen to Teddy Swim's new album. You should take clarity breaks once a week. You should watch Sugar on Apple TV. You should start a TikTok daily post of advice like you give your own kids. You should move to San Diego, given to me by my Uber driver, Omar, who I think is paid by the San Diego Realtors and Chamber of Commerce to tell people to do that. And frankly, if you live in San Diego, I know why you do. You should tell more people that you are available to keynote for them and help them in their schools. You should slow down. I had no idea how many people in my life were willing to make suggestions for me, because I really was never tracking it, and I was never really thinking past it, and I wasn't absorbing the nudge. And after a week, I also had no idea how influenced I was by so many people. I read the book. It was a good book. You should read that book. It might end up on my list this year, the book Dirt. I did all kinds of other things. I started watching the show Sugar. I am going to approach Anne, whom I work with, about a TikTok. I'm going to punch the person in the face who told me I should start lifting weights because I'm getting old. Well, I'm not going to do that, because I really don't have the strength in these fettuccine-like arms to do so, and I'm more of a peace guy. And honestly, I will likely do everything on there with the exception of not splattering on the stove when I cook. Come on, Megan. You got to get messy to have great food. You should start a nudge journal. Look where one nudge took me and now us every week. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You'd have a world full of people living the buffalo life around you who'd be supporting you. You'd be doing passion work with purpose. You'd be learning, growing, leading, and engaged. Sounds pretty awesome to me. And that's how I felt after I took a week to write down my you shoulds. Buffaloes run into the storm. And a storm is defined in many ways. Absorb the nudge and run with it so that you can grow stronger, faster, and happier in that storm. Let's remember one thing about ourselves as we close out here. You are someone that others admire, love, and support. You matter. You are someone who is worthy of the investment from others who are willing to share with you in their willingness to tell you that you should do something, because that is what they see in you. All of us are capable of anything we want. However, like I said on the very, very first episode, I need you to embrace the buffalo life with optimism, empathy, resilience, leadership, and proactivity. There are so many cows out there mooing away their life, never thinking they should, and instead always wishing they would. Who are you going to be this week? I know, you should be a buffalo who absorbs the nudges and listens to the people around you who love you and want you to be your best. You should start a journal, because that's what you should do. Now you should go. Write that down. So let's do some smart thinking. List the shoulds you heard this past week. Describe in your life who nudges you towards excellence. And list the people and the nudges that have changed your life. That's it. That's the 300th episode of the Smart Thinking Podcast. And thank you for joining me on this one. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for rating. And thank you for taking the time to help fuel me in my journey of growing and learning every single day. Thank you to the Well Pennies for their great music. I texted Brian this week and said, hey, I've got a 300th episode coming up. And he sent me a note saying, hey, here are some good Golden Bear Studio artists that you should put on here. So this week, I'm actually going to play for you a new artist that I had not heard before named Anderson Coates. And it's a great song. I really love it because it just reminds me of everything awesome about summer. Also, I'm going to end today with one more nudge. All right. I've got this one to share, and I'm excited about this one. You see, every day I try to write my son and daughter a note of encouragement or advice. When they were younger and I would pack their lunches, I would always write a note, and it was usually to help them be humble, have courage, or give them motivation, or get them through a difficult situation. I found one a couple of months ago. It turns out my wife, when my kids would bring their lunch bags home, actually kept all of the notes and had a little pile of them. This one, on some particular day when he was in elementary school, said, may the force be with you. It is the force that will help you with your test. It had a little hand-drawn stick person with a green lightsaber. Earlier this year, when I was a hot mess because we were empty nesters, my wife Megan said, you should write the kids a note every day. Not text, write. And I listened. So now, both of my adulting children get a picture of a handwritten note each day, and it's always signed, Love, Dad. Friday it was, always take the stairs, meaning take the harder path, to which my daughter sent me a picture of herself walking up the stairs in her dorm with a note saying, literally, open this note while walking up the stairs today, Dad. On occasion, I send the notes to other people in my life that may need it or to support them. Well, a few months ago, I shot one out to a group chat of friends and colleagues, great friends and colleagues, and I got a nudge that I'm going to absorb. My friend wrote back in the chat, this should be your book. I have been starting a book and working on a book for over 2 years, and I shared with a couple of people how I was struggling with that book. Too many ideas and not enough focus or time in my life. And then I got this nudge. You should do this as your book. Well, I am now 150 pages into my book. I'm hoping to get it published and out by Thanksgiving of next year, and the working title is 180, How to Change Your Direction and Go to Your Storms. 180 ways to charge like a buffalo. It's 180 notes to you, with each being interpreted to grow your leadership and reflections and to help you coach others. It's a coaching book, a mindfulness opportunity, a reflection book, a parenting book. It's a text to help you reflect each day when you need to turn yourself around, to help you frame ideas for others as well as yourself and allow you to take pictures of the quotes and send them to those that need them. The attendees at the summer retreat, which is in July, not June, by the way, and if you haven't registered, register soon because we're running out of seats on the CISA 6 website. The attendees to the summer retreat are, of course, getting one of the tools from the book because, yeah, I made the tool before the book. I share this with you because it was a nudge. I thought I needed to write a book about leadership and processes, and maybe that's still in me. But now I'm going to listen to my friend and go with it. Buffaloes listen to the shoulds. This week, I want you to do that. And this week, you should get up and go for it. Life is a series of lessons and experiences provoked by our choices. Let's make great choices and embrace those that love us enough to tell us we should.
Run back to an August afternoon, halfway wrapped around a petty tune. AC's out and I don't care. AC's out and I don't care. First love, fear in the headlights. Last call for the rest of your life. AC's out and I don't care. AC's out and I don't care. The years won't always wear out their welcome. It's a shimmer in a kid's eye. It's an 18-wheeler blowing by. It's the way we're all trying, the way we're all trying to keep whatever's fading away. It's a pop of a catcher's mitt. It's a summer that you'll never forget. It's a tear in the eye. We all hate goodbyes and laughs. A sunflower bouquet. Laughs a sunflower bouquet. We'll be right back. wrapped round a cul-de-sac. When dinner's ready, I'll be out back. Time runs his mouth and I don't care. Time runs his mouth and I don't care. 11 years, 12-bar blues. Grandpa's in heaven and he's proud of you. Time runs his mouth and I don't care. Time runs his mouth and I don't care. The years won't always wear out their welcome. It's a shimmer in a kid's eye. It's an 18-wheeler blowing by. It's the way we're all trying, the way we're all trying to keep whatever's fading away. It's a pop of a catcher's mitt. It's a summer that you'll never forget. It's a tear in the eye, we all hate goodbyes.